All right, are all you underground hardcore motorcycle racers ready to hear about this totally accurate game called Road Rash?
Yeah, I think we are.
Awesome. Well, welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric.
And today we're talking about Road Rash.
Road Rash.
And it's not just a medical term for something you get when you fall off your bike and your skin gets all gross.
It's a hardcore series of video games.
Oh, yeah. Road Rash is a racing game developed and published by EA. The game is centered around a series of motorcycle races throughout California that the player must win to advance onto higher difficulty races while engaging in unarmed and armed combat to hinder the other racers.
Yeah, so you're fighting people on your motorcycle in California.
Yeah, so this is like a hardcore game. Warning, we're breaking the law in this game.
so we may or may not
get arrested. You know, it's just the facts of life.
You're going to be officers waiting outside ready to arrest us at the end of this episode.
Yeah, because we went too fast.
Too fast and too far. All right,
Eric, does this game have a cool history?
Yeah. It's super cool history, actually.
All right, well, let's get into it.
So, Nikki, while I liked your intro, I have a better intro.
What? You wrote the intro that I read.
Yeah. Enough about the old intro.
You set me up.
Let's focus on this even better intro.
You set me up, man.
Okay, so this is a description of Road Rash from a segment of GamePro magazine called Short Shots, published in September of 1991, which is the same exact month the game was released.
Okay.
There are no laws in the Road Rash jungle. Forget about going in circles on some wimpy track. In this insane two-player motorbike racing simulation kart come beat-em-up with ultra-authentic multi-scrolling graphics, you ride your mean machine over the even meaner streets and roads. It's a free-for-all with fists and feet are flying, as you have complete unlimited access to the public roads in five different locations. No coppers allowed. Dodge your way around enraged motorists, slow-moving cows, and other bikes, 14 other equally crazy and competitive riders to be exact. There are no mercy on the streets of Road Rash.
You're on your mean machine.
So, Nikki, is there mercy on the streets of Road Rash?
There's no mercy.
There's no mercy.
There's no mercy in the world of underground motorcycle racing in California.
So I like that intro, but I don't know how much of that is accurate. I mean, it's not really two players. You can take turns. It is technically two players, but it's two players taking turns. So
yeah. But, you know, that person was doing their job. That's a really creative way to describe the game, and it definitely would have gotten me interested back in the day. I would have been like, yeah, I need to ride my mean machine around the mean streets of California.
And it turns out you're riding most of the streets are like really rural areas.
Oh, yeah. You're like out in the mountains and desert and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on to the actual history. So we are going to start around the late 80s, early 90s with Electronic Arts, or EA, as the smart, cool people like to call them.
That's like a totally long time ago.
Yeah.
When people used to talk like Valley Girls and stuff, probably.
Helping us getting into the time period. Thank you, Nikki.
Yeah. I feel like Natasha would totally talk like this and then turn around and hit you with a club.
Natasha is one of the characters in the game, in case you didn't know that. Okay, so this was before EA, you know, became the giant evil corporation that we know them today. Oh,
that evil?
You know.
Some people think so. I don't know.
Anyway, they were kind of a medium-sized neutral company, I feel, at this point. Although, they were actually still a pretty major publisher even in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, dang, they've been around for a long time.
Yeah, they weren't actually doing much development on their own yet. For the most part, they were farming the process out to other companies who would develop the game, and then they would publish them.
Hmm. So they're basically just the money behind things.
I mean, they're both, you'd come up with an agreement to split the money, but yeah.
No, I mean, they basically just provided the money to people for people to make it, right?
Yeah, and then they would box them and sell them and, you know, do the retail version.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to give you an idea of what types of games they were publishing, here's a short list of some of the games before Road Rash that they came out with.
Okay.
Okay, so Skate or Die, Earl Weaver Baseball, John Madden Football, Populous, PGA Tour, The Bard's Tale Trilogy, NHL Hockey.
Okay, so and that's, a lot of sports games.
Yeah, so they were super into doing like sports simulations. Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. They're kind of like, you don't have to really invent anything. You're just taking something that's already a thing and making like the video game version of it.
Yeah, and also the fact that there weren't really very good sports simulations out there. Like,
well, yeah, at this time, this is a long, long time ago.
Yeah, I think back...
In the late 80s, early 90s, you said?
Yeah, I think back to like the John Madden football game, which it was one of John Madden's sticking points that... There were actually 11 players on each team on the field at the same time. And that was pretty hard to do technically with that many sprites moving.
Yeah,
all at the
I'm
same
sure.
Time.
Yeah, things were very limited back then.
And this is just a small segment. I just wanted to give you an idea that they were doing sports simulation games, but they were also doing some other like kind of simulation games.
Yeah.
And like the and fantasy games and space games and stuff.
So even though it was a long time ago, they were still doing a lot of stuff. They weren't really that small even back then.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, they were more, they were relatively sized to the video game industry, which was much smaller, but they were still a major player in it.
Cool.
At the time, EA was primarily focused on PC games, since it was viewed as a more stable market after the video game crash in the early 80s. You remember with E.T. and Atari and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Who could forget?
But by the late 80s, they were wanting to get back into the console market. And Road Rash would end up being one of the first titles that they would conceive of, develop, and publish for that market.
Wow.
So they actually did do the development on Road Rash.
Wow. So that's they had a lot of faith in this game. Like, this is their first big game they're going to bring to the consoles.
Yeah. So while there are a lot of people who worked on this game, for the sake of simplicity, we're going to focus on three.
Okay.
Producer Randy Breen, director Carl May, and programmer Dan Geisler.
Okay.
So just memorize those three names. They're all very important, and they will all be coming up again and again.
All right. Locked and loaded.
So those three were grouped together to work on a game called Mario Andretti Racing that EA wanted to release for the original Nintendo Entertainment System.
So, all right. So it started out as something else?
Yeah.
Okay.
So one of the first things they were tasked with was creating a banked road effect for the game, but quickly found out that it was beyond the technical limitations of the NES console, which, you know, isn't all that surprising because, you know, we were playing it on Genesis and we're seeing it like kind of like barely run on the Road Rash.
So is this when they kind of come up with the concept of like having the background scroll instead of like the track scroll?
That had been a concept.
Oh, okay. My bad.
There are lots of racing games that kind of did that. Yeah, your car would stay pretty much like, be the main sprite in the middle and, you know, the road would be coming at you.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't played that many of the games, so I don't know if that was like the first one that did it or not.
No. Yeah, that had effect had been around. And one of the big technology upgrades, I guess, was them trying to do that banked road effect.
Yeah.
So you'd have like hills and like curves and turns and stuff like that.
Gotcha. So what did they end up doing?
Well, I'll tell you. So around this time, Breen, May, and Geisler, as well as another designer, held a brainstorming session. One of the reasons for that meeting was that Richard Breen, who had recently worked on Indianapolis 500, the simulation, wanted to make a more entertaining and less realistic game than the one that, you know, he had just made.
Yeah.
So during this meeting, they decided to switch from cars to motorcycles, just kind of getting rid of the Mario Andretti thing altogether. Yeah.
So different, switching to motorcycles.
Yeah, with the rationale that they could have more sprites on screen at once and the bikers could be more expressive. And it had nothing to do with the fact that Breen, as well as other members of the team, were super into motorcycles.
I'm sure. Yeah, sure had nothing to do with that at all.
They had lots of technical reasons.
Seems like they really just wanted to justify making the game they wanted to make.
I think so.
But I get the logic. Like, cars are bigger than motorcycles. So, like, theoretically, a motorcycle coating would be, like, half of what a car coating would be or whatever.
Yeah, you can make smaller sprites.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, eventually...
And they're probably, like, there's probably... Sorry to cut you off. But there's probably, like, so many car racing games, too, at that point. It's like, let's do something a little different, you know?
Yeah, I think so. So eventually development would move to the recently released Sega Genesis, since it was powerful enough to generate the road effect the team wanted. In fact, Geiser claimed that the Genesis memory capacity could have allowed him to create 802 miles of unique roads, and that he could have accurately mapped out the entire coast of California.
Whoa. So why didn't they do that?
You know, I think
too much time.
Yeah, too much time, and then, you know, the game gets a little repetitive, so I can imagine going for 802 miles on a road on this game.
Yeah, but it would be different, though, if he's doing, like, the whole map of California, you know? It wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And in fact, I would say that the game started off on that path as a go-anywhere-style game. So, about a year into development, the team had a chance to promote the game at the 1990 Consumer Electronics Show.
And nice, yes.
It did not go well.
Oh, no.
So there were frame rate issues. The animations didn't look good. And like I said, they were trying to make a more of a go-anywhere style game.
Which, so they wanted this to be like open map?
Yeah, kind of like a...
That's ambitious.
Yeah, go anywhere style. Like, so you're driving up the entire coast of California if you want. All 802 miles of it.
Yeah, that seems very ambitious for the Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was supposed to be high tech back then, but I don't know. That seems like too much.
Yeah. So according to Carl May, the development team would secretly refer to the game as Randy's Sunday Drive behind Randy Breen's back. May also remarked that, quote, "We all knew Road Rash needed more balls to sell than a simulation of someone following the speed limit," end quote.
What? So is this when they make it like about the underground racing circuit and stuff?
Yeah, we're getting there.
So it's more edgy and more ballsy?
Yeah. So after the electronic show, you know, which went pretty poorly.
Yeah.
The team had to repitch the game to executives to keep it from getting canceled. And then
that's never good.
Yeah, and they were given an additional 6 months to revamp the game.
Oh, gosh, that's not that long.
Yeah. So at this point...
Dang, so that's going to light a fire under your ass for sure.
Oh, yeah. And at this point, Carl May asked to be granted creative control of the game on the grounds that he, quote, "wanted to make the game kick ass." And the
I can just like imagine the group of people working on this game, just a bunch of bros like drinking beers and stuff, like they all have their hats on backwards or to the side probably, you know.
You know, I doubt this is bro culture. This doesn't sound anything like bro culture.
Oh yeah, no, this doesn't sound like the origin of bro culture or anything.
So, yeah, so he said that and the executives agreed. So they pretty much gave Carl May creative control over Randy Breen, who had it.
Uh-oh. Drama.
So over the 6 months, they fixed the frame rate issues and animations. They added names to the other bikers and screens where they would deliver the banter between races. They added the officers that could arrest the players to help create a sense of tension. They added the crash effect...
Dang, they pretty much added the whole entire game.
Yeah, where the player would go flying off the bike after hitting, you know, an obstacles. And that effect where, you know, you keep hitting obstacles as you're sliding was inspired by Wile E. Coyote from the Roadrunners games. Yeah.
It seems like they pretty much had to do a total revamp because this game sounds pretty much like what they came out with. Yeah. Like, compared to the other one, which was not
It started anything. Off much more of a simulation. Mm-hmm. And
it turned into like a proper game.
Yeah, exactly. And then they kind of made it more of a, okay, what are people actually going to like to play for fun?
Well, I think they had something with the whole edgy thing. People do love to be evil in video games. Love to break the law. We love to kill people, like all that stuff in video games.
Yeah.
it's like an outlet or something for for some people.
It really is. It's a great outlet. Oh, and they added the combat system, which, according to Randy Breen, was inspired by Grand Prix motorcyclists who would sometimes shove or kick each other during races.
Damn.
So, yeah.
So that really happens? Like, I don't know. In real life, they're going so fast, like 150, 160 miles per hour. How do you even have time to think to put your leg out to kick someone? Like, you need to be so fast.
Oh, yeah, going around corners and stuff. You know, you got to slow way down. So yeah. I can imagine, you know, you're slowed down. You might kick the other guy a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. But, oh, God.
Shove. Yeah, I can totally see it. Like, that does not surprise me at all. I mean, they're not flat out like punching each other and stuff like in this game.
I wonder if in real life, if anyone's really carrying a club and they're just beating people with it. Because in the game, some of the players have clubs.
Oh, yeah.
And they hit you.
I hope not. So they pretty much added most of what we know to be kind of defining elements of Road Rash.
In 6 months. That's crazy.
Well, they had a pretty good base of a game before that. Because, I mean, that banked road effect... You know,
it's the majority of the game.
That's a pretty big technological hurdle. I feel like no other game before that really had that effect, which is, it's a really cool effect. It really does feel like you're going over bank turns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Road Rash for the Sega Genesis was released in September of 1991, as I mentioned earlier. An Amiga version was released in December of 1992.
So wait, what's an Amiga? I've never heard of that before.
Apparently, after looking it up, it is... a type of Commodore computer.
Okay, so it's a PC. So they released it on PC, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Game Gear and Master System versions were released in March of 1994, and a Game Boy version was released in June of 1994. All the non-Genesis versions were developed by third-party companies, too.
Okay.
So the only version of the original Road Rash was developed for the Genesis.
Okay. And then,
or the only one developed by EA was for the Genesis.
Gotcha. Sorry. And then if it was released on anywhere else, it was the third party that basically took the game and just like remastered it or whatever.
Yeah, probably took that code and reported it to a different system.
Gotcha. Cool.
So Road Rash was praised by critics for its innovative combat system and its convincing creation of the illusion of speed in spite of fairly simple visuals. At the time of its release, Road Rash became EA's most profitable title.
Wow.
So, yeah, this game kind of was one of the first that got EA going. Started a evil corporation.
Oh.
So, yeah, moving on, I got some fun facts.
Fun facts.
I got some really good fun facts.
My favorite part.
I'm excited about these fun facts.
Ooh, Eric's excited. Watch out, everybody.
All right, so we got four. So, fun fact number one. Road Rash's original name was Road Rash on Mulholland Drive. This came from Richard Breen reminiscing to the group about riding his own bike on Mulholland Drive to meet with friends and thinking to himself, man, if you wiped out here, you'd get some serious road rash. Eventually the title would be shortened to Road Rash. So yeah.
The original title sounds more like a horror movie than than a game or a horror game, you know? It's like Road Rash on Mulholland Drive? Mulholland Drive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't wipe out there. You'll never get up again.
Fun fact number two. So some of the pictures used for the bikers and officers were based on real people. Lead artist Arthur Koch actually went to a local police department and convinced motor officers to pose for photographs for his reference. Also, Biff's image was Ben Gordon, the VP of sales at EA.
Nice. I wonder what their opinion of him was since they made him Biff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because when did Back to the Future come out?
It was before the release of this game. In fact, in interviews, they said Biff was based off of, you know, the character from Back to the Future.
So that's not really a compliment if they're making you look like Biff. That might say something.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was a bit of a bully.
I think they're just poking fun at him.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the game, Biff is an ass.
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't think you can have the name Biff and not just be a jerk, you know?
Yeah.
It's like forever tied to being a jerk.
Apparently he's more of an ass even than Rude Boy. I love that name.
Oh, yeah. All the names of the drivers are very early 90s. Like, American Gladiator wrestling-ish names, like Viper and yeah. Rude Boy. And
yeah, also, I just picture like going to a police station and getting motorbike officers to pose for photos for you and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Because you look at the pictures, they look like so cliche. They look so cartoonish.
Yeah, it's like they could have literally just found a newspaper or something and found someone and just made them look like that instead of going to the through the trouble of taking pictures of someone.
Well, I just thought they looked cool because, you know, they like those are based on real people.
Yeah, I mean, that is pretty cool, but also, I don't know, I feel like they didn't really need to do that. You know what I'm saying?
In Nikki's opinion, that was not necessary.
Well, they look so generic anyways. It just looks like you could have used like any guy, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Just my opinion, sorry. All right, fun fact number 3.
Moving on. Due to the game's violent content.
So violent.
EA was unable to secure official licensing from existing motorcycle manufacturers.
Oh, no. So, like, what is it, like Suzuki or whatever? They were like, no. This game is too hardcore for our brand to be associated with it.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And so instead of officially licensed stuff, they chose to use sound-alike brands in their place. So can you guess which one is which? So, like, for example, Panda is Honda.
Oh, sound-alike for Honda. I didn't get that, but that makes sense.
Yeah. Shuriken is sound-alike for Suzuki.
I don't know about that one.
Kamikaze is a sound-alike for Kawasaki.
Okay, all right.
And Diablo is a sound-alike for Ducati.
That does not sound alike at all. But, yeah, I feel like they did a good job just naming motorcycles, like, motorcycle-sounding-ish names.
Yeah, you know. I liked it.
Yeah.
Okay, and my final fun fact requires a prop.
A prop? Well, that's a first ever.
For the last fun fact, I'm going to hand you the game box art for Road Rash.
Okay.
So take a good look at that.
Okay. It's like, it's a rectangular box. It's very black and red. On the top half, we've got two motorcyclists kind of fighting. And on the bottom, it's like a road graphic with the words Road Rash, like all caps and really blocky.
Okay. So yeah, it's a good description of it. Mm-hmm. Now there are three names on the box. Could you read those names out loud?
Randy Breen, Dan Geisler, and Walter Stein.
Do you notice a name missing?
Yes. Who's one of those three people that you said at the beginning?
Carl May.
Yeah, Carl.
that's what you were reaching for.
Yes, right? Carl May.
On the tip of your tongue.
So what happened to Carl May?
Yeah, so let me explain why Carl May's name is not on the box art.
Drama. There's a lot of drama with this game.
Yeah, so the original box art actually had Carl May's name on it, but left Randy Breen's name off of it.
What?
At the time of release, though, EA had a policy of not crediting producers on the box art. Since Carl May had taken over creative control, I guess he was considered the producer, so Randy Breen used that excuse to replace Carl May's name with his before the game was released. And this led to an incident of EA making it so no one's name could be credited on the box art.
Damn, he ruined it for everyone. Who is the Stein guy?
Walter Stein. He was another programmer, and he was also in the design team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I couldn't find much on Walter Stein.
So Randy made it so that no one else can ever have their name on the box art anymore. And is that still to this day? EA never has like any credits on the box?
I believe so, yeah.
That's kind of hilarious. So petty. Oh, my gosh.
Totally not bro
men.
Culture.
Yeah, totally not bro culture at all.
Yeah. I hope they've buried the hatchet since.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I was trying to find out like if there was more drama behind that, or if, you know, they were still kind of mad at each other, or there was hard feelings behind it or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I couldn't really find much.
Sounds like it could have been a reality show. Yeah, I know, right? Like if they had those back then, like the real video game world or something. It's kind of a funny past, some funny stories though. Like, I don't know. Sounds like a pretty interesting game to have been on the team for.
Yeah.
Well, Lots of drama.
There were a bunch of people who worked on this that were kind of left out too.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't cover everyone. We'd be here like 4 hours talking about every person.
Yeah. All right. So moving on to pros and cons.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you like about the game, Eric?
So I like how there's a lot going on in a given race. There are people to fight, cars and obstacles to avoid, cops trying to cause you to wreck. And all this kind of keeps the races from getting boring, I feel like, just because there's so much going on.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's a lot going on, but also there's not a lot going on. But but some of that is just you have to keep in mind that the game came out in 1991. So, like, there's just a lot of limitations there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that the game, and this kind of goes with what you said, but it, like, makes the game seem very fast-paced. I mean, it is a racing game, so you want it to seem fast-paced, obviously. But the matches don't last that long, or the races don't last that long, and, like, you do feel like you're going, like, pretty fast.
Yeah, the illusion of speed is definitely there. Yeah. And you all have some of those, like, near misses that make you go like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure that happens all the time if you're actually racing motorcycles.
Yeah. What's one of your pros?
Well, I just said that it was fast-paced, but also, like, even though you can't play two players at the same time, I do feel like this is a pretty good game to play with your friends and just switch off taking turns during the races.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because then you get a little bit of a break. Then you can also laugh at your friends for, like, wiping out and all that stuff. And I don't know. It's funny to see people's, like, style of how they play the game. I feel like I was trying to hit people the whole entire time. And then, like, sometimes that would cause me to wreck. So it would be, like, instant karma, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I tried to punch this guy off his motorcycle and then I hit a car. So, you know, I deserve this.
Oh, yeah. So. I've done that plenty of times, wrecking out trying to punch a person. But so one of the things I liked was the motorcycle progression. It always feels good to buy that next motorcycle up so you can see what your new color scheme is going to be and you can see how much faster it's going to go.
Yeah, they do go. Like, every time you level up, I feel like the bike will go, like, 20 to 40 miles faster than the other one. Or than the one before it, you know?
Not actually, but, you know, it can feel like that, yeah.
Well, I thought, like, in the level one, I thought my bike was only getting up to, like, 130.
Yeah, 135, 130, and then the next one goes up to 140.
Yeah. Okay, I guess it's not that much faster.
Yeah, so it's a little bit faster, but it's not, like...
I guess it just feels way faster because, like, once you level up from the beginner's bike, you have to, like, start to take the turns and stuff more carefully.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know,
so
yeah.
I guess that's why it feels like it's so much faster.
I almost kind of prefer that beginner level bike in some ways, just because you don't have to take your foot off the accelerator.
Yeah, you can just press B, just press B the whole time, pedal to the metal.
Yeah. What's another one of your pros?
So I like that this game kind of feels. Like, to me, it feels like it could be an arcade game. Like, it has that kind of style to it, where, like, you wouldn't necessarily want to play this game all day long, you know? So I feel like it would work in an arcade-type situation, because then you would play probably, like, two races, and then, like, you would lose your quarter or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I kind of like that feel. It's kind of, like, goes with... I think it just goes with, like, the time when it came out, too, because in the early 90s, like, you couldn't do that much on the consoles. So, for whatever reason, I just like that feel, too, that has that feel to it.
Yeah, I agree. It's really fun just to sit down and put this game in for, like, 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or something like that. And just, like, chill, listen to some sweet jams and, like, race your motorcycle, your meme machine on the meaner streets.
Speaking of, like, I like the music for this game. It's, like, very early 90s rock, a little bit, like, computerized music, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's obviously not, like, a real band playing it. It's, like, drum machines and stuff like that.
The composer is doing his best to, you know, recreate that feeling of, you know, metal band or whatever. It's not the music sounds like awesome, especially for the individual tracks.
Oh yeah.
I actually had this as kind of a pro and a con, because like while the music for the individual tracks is like awesome, some of the transition screens are like, you know, it's like every single transition screen like tries to jam in a different like tune.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're going through these different transition screens, you're like restarting the tracks over and over, whereas it would be better if there was just one track playing through that whole process.
Gotcha.
But that might have been more of a function of the Genesis.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, yeah, the actual tracks when you race are like fantastic. Any other pros?
Yeah. The sweet, sweet bikes. I don't know. They just get cooler, like the higher up your level gets. They look cooler and stuff.
I like the opponent's bikes too. Yeah. They're changing colors and stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting new color schemes.
Mm-hmm. I also like the character names and their like personalities and stuff.
Yeah. I love those.
And like some of them are supposed to be your friends. So if you like accidentally hit them, they get mad at you. And then, like, other ones are, you know, just your born enemies or whatever, opponents. But, like, they all have really fun, like, really, like we talked about before, like, their names are just really out there and, like, whatever, super hyper masculine or whatever. And then, like, they have these, like, in between the races, they'll show little cutscenes and it'll be, like, the characters saying some kind of, like, smack talk or something. And I don't know. It's just pretty funny.
Yeah.
A lot of humor. A lot of early 90s humor.
Yeah. So much messed up stuff, too. Well, actually, not really. Not that much messed up. I just think about the one where Slater says he's tweaking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's pretty messed up.
I don't know what tweaking meant back then. Maybe it meant, does it mean something different than it means today? Or was he, like, strung out on drugs?
I mean, that would be my assumption, but... maybe that word is more modernized than it.
Yeah.
Maybe back then it was more just.
Maybe it just meant he was bugging. Yeah. Bugging out or something. But not necessarily like, you know, on hardcore drugs or anything.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you don't like about this game?
Well, I had one more pro/con.
Oh, well, that's a good transition.
Yeah. So this is a pro and a con. It's easy to wipe out. So the wipeout animations can be absolutely hilarious. You know, you'll go flying off your motorcycle. You'll hit like 10 different things.
Yeah. And then you get up and run full force back to your bike. Like nothing happened.
Yeah. You'll like hit an oncoming car or something. And then you'll get up like it was fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it also can, you know, take a while. It sets you back, you know.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, moving on to cons now. So what's one of your cons?
I don't have like a whole lot of cons for this game. I think the game is like pretty simple. It's not trying to be something. It's not, you know, it's not trying to be crazy, but it is a little repetitive. And I think that's just because it's an older game and they can only do so much. But like after a while, even though the race courses or whatever are different, they still feel the same. Like even though one might be a mountain, one might be desert, the roads... And like, there's not that much they can do as far as
you're still
turns and stuff.
Yeah, you're still on a two-lane road making pretty much the same banked type turns.
So there's not a whole lot of like new skill to learn as you level up, other than just kind of like figuring out that your bike is a little faster. But it's not like the courses get like more curvy or anything like that.
I don't know. I feel like some of the added track, like so as you level up, you know, they add more to the back end of each track.
Yeah.
I feel like some of those back ends can be a little bit more curvy.
Yeah, but it's not that different.
Yeah, know? It's not so, really that different.
Yeah, it's just like, it gets a little repetitive. I don't think I would want to play this game for more than like 30 minutes if I was by myself, you know?
It's 30 minutes to an hour is about right.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's passwords, so you can continue your game. There's that 20-digit password or whatever you have to enter.
Yeah, there's another con. Why couldn't they just, like, I guess back then you couldn't just save? Like, they didn't have save slots? Like, you couldn't just save without the password?
Adding writable memory to a game was kind of expensive, I think.
Oh, okay.
So what they would do instead is they would just use a password system.
And it's so, like... I don't know, it would be fine if the passcode was like 5 digits, but this is like 20 digits long. And back then, you would have to write that down, because no camera phones. And like, if you got one digit wrong, then There's your whole game. You lost your game. Yeah. You know, like,
Oh, you didn't write it down.
That's frustrating.
Oh, man. Yeah. My last con is that there's a pretty clear rubber band effect.
Can you explain that?
Yeah. So basically, you know, if you wipe out, the drivers in front of you will slow way down and kind of wait for you.
Okay. So pretty much they can only get like so far ahead of you.
Yeah, exactly. And same thing if you get too far in first, like they will always like kind of keep up with you.
Yeah, I didn't. I noticed that.
Yeah. So I don't really like that effect. You see it a lot, and actually a lot of different racing games, even like a lot of the Mario Kart series will do that too.
Yeah.
But that effect, I'm just not a fan of it.
Okay.
But I understand why they do it.
Yeah.
The reason they do it is to keep you in the action.
Exactly.
So you never feel like you're out of it or too far ahead or any of that stuff.
Because sometimes when you wipe out, it does take a good chunk of time for you to like get back to your bike and stuff.
Yeah.
So if they didn't have the rubber banding, you would pretty much just stay in last place after you wipe out. And, like, you're going to wipe out. So, like, yeah. See why they did it. But maybe they could have made it a little more spread out, I guess, you know?
Spread out.
So, like, it's still rubber banded. But maybe there was just a little bit more of a gap of, like, how far in front or behind you could get to the group.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's true. They could have expanded it a little bit. Made it a looser rubber band.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all my cons. You have any more?
Awesome. No, I don't have any.
What's your strategy for the game?
So many. Like, so many strategies.
Strategies. Go not fast. Really.
Go fast. Go furious.
And beat people up on the way.
Yeah. That is my first piece of strategy is hit everyone. That's one of the most fun parts about this game. Absolutely. So you might as well do it. Just hit everybody. Even if it is Natasha, your best friend.
She'll only quit
hit
at you
that
like
bitch.
Once or twice.
Yeah, but hit everyone. And then like some of the guys have clubs, like we said. So like if you're hitting them while they try to hit you with their club, you steal their club. And then you have a club to hit people with.
Yeah, it pays just a punch at people for the off chance that they might try to swing their club. And you can steal it.
Yeah.
Because it takes them forever to swing their club. They'll sit there and like hold it for a good like 2 seconds or something.
It's almost like they want you to grab it.
It's almost like they want you to take it. Have you ever had the club stolen away from you after you've taken it?
No. They can steal it back?
Yeah, they can steal it
back.
Oh,
no. I didn't know that. I was playing like that couldn't happen. So.
Yeah, it's pretty rare, but it can happen.
It's actually pretty hard to steal the club from people because you have to ride beside them for like, you know, for an amount of time.
Well, only a few.
And like in the game, it's really hard to like keep a steady speed, like to stay beside someone.
Yeah. And that rubber banding effect will make them either like catapult forward or like come flying back at you. Yeah. It can be kind of difficult to steal a club, and also only a few of the other racers actually have a club.
Mm-hmm.
So like Hammer and Viper will always have clubs, and then like Biff, I feel like half the time will have a club, or maybe it's all the time.
Yeah, maybe it's kind of random, like the other people that.
But sometimes, it's some random person like Dredd or something will have a club. You'll be like, where'd you get a club, Dredd? So yeah, one of my strategy bits is. It might be worth your time to farm money in the early stages because you can farm money in this game. Since the game will only advance you to the next level once you've gotten fourth place or better on all five tracks, you can keep replaying a track even if you've already gotten first to get additional money and in consequence buy faster bikes.
Yeah, at first I didn't even realize you were getting money. Just like, I don't know, I just wasn't paying that much attention,
I mean,
guess.
Yeah, it's not really like, you don't really focus on the money or anything until you get to the bike screen and you're like, oh, you can do something with money.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, I should have been paying more attention to that.
Yeah. The bike screen is kind of hidden after a race. You have to hit a specific button to get to it.
Yeah. Another thing is, we kind of already talked about this too, but like when you level up your bikes, like the faster they are, the more you have to use the slow down and speed up method than just like going full speed the whole time. Because when you go around a curve, you will wipe out for sure if you don't slow down a little
bit. Yeah, even just buying that next level bike up, it's like, okay, going around a curve and all of a sudden you'll go flying off of it. I'm like,
Like, oops, just slow down.
It's like, I guess I have to start slowing down now, damn it.
Yeah, and then also just like remember to level your bike up when you can. Like, I'm bad about not thinking about that kind of stuff, and I'll just keep the whole bike, the same bike the whole time. But you were good about, like, reminding me, like, oh, yeah, you can upgrade your bike. Like, oh, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
So, like, remembering to do that is pretty helpful.
Yeah.
Especially when everyone else you're racing against is going to have those better bikes, too. If you still have a lower bike, you're definitely just going to be left in the dust.
Yeah, you don't want to advance the levels without buying better bikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Otherwise, yeah, you're just not going to be able to progress anymore in the game. So another strategy bit, this is an important one and might not be super obvious, but it's important to try to drive in the right lane.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, because, like, I have written down, too, like, because the cars and cows and all that stuff, they will come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of times, at least if you're in the right lane, you're not going to get hit by a car coming the opposite direction. But it is really hard to stay in your lane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It's hard to stay on the road for me.
Yeah, and you're kind of limited in the sense that, like, one, the graphics make it so you can't really see stuff until, like, the instant it, like, appears in front of you. And the other thing is the hilly terrain, so you have a ton of hills and stuff. And you won't know what's coming on the other side of the hill until, you know, you hit it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and also the wipeouts are pretty different. If you hit a car accidentally in front of you versus one that's coming the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you always end up, like, way far away from your bike when a car hits you coming from the other direction.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. One, you're probably tapping the back of one car, and then the other one you're getting full-on hit by the front of a car. So, yeah. Big difference. But, yeah, if you even look away for, like, 1 millisecond, like, they're like a cow could show up or something, so you just have to, like, pay attention the whole time.
What's another strategy bit?
I don't really have anything else. That's pretty much all.
I just have one more, and that's pay attention to road signs. Did you know that they would, like, you know, a road sign for a curve would come up before the curve?
Oh yeah,
so you can actually slow down ahead of time and then accelerate through the curve like you're supposed to do. And that helps.
Yeah, cool. I thought that was just common sense. Because, you know, when you're really driving, there's those, like, warning signs and stuff, too. But
sometimes the road signs are kind of hard to see in this game, too, mm-hmm. just because of the graphics. Like, also, you'll see it for, like, a split second because how fast you're going and all that stuff. So it can actually be kind of difficult to notice some of the turn signs, I feel like.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, you don't want those turns sneaking up on you.
All right, so Eric, I really couldn't find anything about the future of this game. Like, I think the franchise is stopped, right?
Yeah, franchise seems like it's dead.
So there's not going to be, like, any new Road Rash games coming out anytime soon or anything like that.
Doesn't look like it. So there are 6 Road Rash games in the entire series. The last one came out in 2000, and it was called Road Rash Jailbreak.
Wow.
For the original PlayStation. All the way back for PS1.
I wonder if, like, the sales dropped off, or, like, I wonder why they stopped making them.
I don't know, honestly. I never played any of the games after the original Road Rash, mm-hmm. so I can't say for sure so how those later ones
are. You're part of the reason that they got canceled out.
You know,
you didn't keep playing the games.
You like that first one so much, there's no reason to buy another one. No, I'm joking. No, I was a kid. I didn't have money.
Yeah.
There are other games I would ask for. I didn't really even think about buying the next Road Rash game.
Yeah. But so did you find anything for the future then?
Yeah, so, well, there is a spiritual successor to Road Rash called Road Redemption, which was released in 2017 and 2018 for Windows, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. So there is, like,
is this still a motorcycle racing
game? Yeah, so it basically plays very similar to the old Road Rash games. So if you do want a Road Rash style game,
That
might be one to try out.
Road Redemption.
Yeah, I might pick it up at some point. Oh, and the other thing I found is that there is, unfortunately, no Road Rash movie.
Oh, darn.
But there is a trailer made for a fake one in 2010, nice. Which is pretty awesome. They just compiled a bunch of clips from other movies that had motorcycle scenes in them.
Yeah. So if you want to see that, just go on YouTube and search Road Rash trailer or something.
Yeah. Or we can post a link at some point to it.
Yeah. We did watch it. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Although I do think this game series would make for a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I mean, if they can have 800 Fast and the Furious movies, why can't they have a Road Rash movie?
Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
And basically, I feel like it would just be the motorcycle version of Fast and the Furious if that's not already a thing.
Yeah, that's exactly how it would go. Do a motorcycle version of Fast and Furious. All right, so moving on to the challenge.
Okay.
So just to remind our listeners what the challenge was.
Yeah, it was like four-parter.
Four-part challenge. Win a race, advance to level 2, buy a Panda 600 motorcycle, and knock someone off their bike with a club. Did you complete all four objectives?
Check, 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 and check. Booyah!
What was the hardest one of those four?
Getting the club. I pretty much got all of them right away except for the getting the club thing. But then once I got it like 3 or 4 races in a row. I was a pro at it. So
once you know how to
like,
do it.
Yeah, at first I was like, man, I'm not gonna complete the challenge because I'm not gonna be able to do this part. But then I got it, so yay, go me.
Good job.
I'm a motorcycle racing pro now.
So no rap.
Just
this
call
week.
Me Viper from now on.
Viper.
Changing my name.
Nikki Viper Smith.
Yeah. All right. So everybody, we have some news. The next episode is gonna be our last episode of the season.
Man.
The last episode of season 2. But we also have good news because we have a special guest, Shelby.
Woo!
Yay!
Yeah, Shelby.
So the next episode, we're going to be doing Animal Crossing New Horizons, which I'm so excited about.
You have been preparing for this episode for a very long time.
Oh, yeah. Not as long as most people. I didn't start playing this game right when it came out. I just started playing it, 3 months ago or something?
Yeah.
But I have gotten really into it.
I've noticed.
So I'm excited about this. And we've got our girl Shelby, who is awesome. And like when we were talking to all of our friends about Animal Crossing, they were all like, you got to get Shelby on this episode. She built her island up so fast. Like apparently she got KK to her island like super fast, which is a big milestone to get in Animal Crossing. But yeah, so I've got Shelby's challenge here. And the challenge that she sent us is that we as a group will play a series of hide and seek games and the quickest finder wins.
And that means the losers will have to rap?
I guess so. So we'll be playing some hide and seek on our island and her island. That way no one has home turf advantage. And we'll see who the quickest finder is, I guess.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right. I'm excited. So excited.
Yeah, this will be fun.
All right. So I guess we'll see everybody next time.
Yeah. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
As always, if you like what you heard, please give us a review on Apple Podcast. You can rate podcasts on Spotify now, so if you do that for us, that'd be awesome. You can follow us on Instagram at pressanybutton_podcast. And let us know, have you played Road Rash? What did you think? Did you like it? Did you hate it? Let us know. Bye!